Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's ICAP Adventure Radio program. Today's March 31st, 2018. We're here live for the next 2 hours. We're simulcasting on KMIL 105.1 FM right here at the ranch in Cameron, and also out of Rockdale at KRXT 98.5 FM. So that's awesome. All you guys, give us a call here at the studios at 254-697-6633. Got a lot going on the show today, but don't forget, I always start off my day and my show and my week with CEFCO premium coffee here, Fresh Joe Coffee from Hilltop CEFCO in Cameron. So make sure you get yours. They got a special going on. They've got 2 30-ounce bottles of Gatorade for $3, so that's always a good deal. Check it out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got a big show, a lot of things going on, a lot of things in the news, and we're going to try and encapsulate it all. So let me give you an idea of what's coming further on in the show here with some show highlights. Today, we're going to have 4 true stories of self-defense from the Concealed Carry magazine, and we can always learn from others what to do and what not to do in these situations when we hear these stories, so make sure you take some notes. My License to Carry attorney segment with attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson will be covering the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is not given to us. It's a natural right observed and protected by our Constitution and Bill of Rights. So this should prove interesting and enlightening. In today's topic of interest, new dates to put on your calendar of upcoming events that you can get involved with Aaron. So get your calendars ready to take some dates down for that. Also, today's tactical snacking with the delicious Janae Goodman will be another excellent topic. Eggs. Since Easter is Sunday, Janae felt this would be an extraordinary topic to cover. Now, if Trey was here, he'd be giving me deep groans like, oh, man. I got Joel here taking care of the board right now, so that's awesome. Joel, good to have you on the show, buddy. At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the man of manners, the communicator of common sense, the epitome of encyclopedia and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. In the product spotlight segment sponsored by ANC Firearms, I will review the pocket knife of the gun world, the North American Arms mini revolver. If it was a watch, it would have Swiss timing. That's how good this gun is and how well it's made. My special guest today will be whoever decides to pop in with something of interest. Actually, I think I've got Bill Whitmire coming back in. We're going to be talking some Second Amendment rights, guns, the whole works. I think that's going to be a really good conversation as well. Then to close up the show, Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. She unfortunately has a sore throat and won't be in, so I get a break this week from getting beaten up as a practice target, and we're going to do a replay. So Joel, be prepared for that. We'll do a replay on one of Mrs. Key's segments on how to defend yourself with some tricky little moves in martial arts there. But she's there at the Central Texas Academy, Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Check her out. Look at the videos online at YouTube. Once again, go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel. Also on Instagram, follow us there. Give us a call here at the studio, 254-697-6633. Be part of the show. So, strap yourselves in. Crank up the volume. Let's get the show started. And we're going to start with stories of self-defense in real life out of the Concealed Carry magazine. And this one is from February-March issue. Story number one reads as follows. North Carolina mother frightens off 2 burglars. A young Gaston County mother of 2 heard noises coming from the rear of the home. Taking a pistol with her to investigate, she found 2 men trying to force entry into the home through a glass door. When she displayed the pistol that she had with her, the 2 men fled without further incident. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, they say it all collectively, or let's say it all collectively, shall we? What did she do before she went to investigate? That's right, she got her pistol first. A lot of good it's going to do to investigate when your pistol is still in the drawer. You may not have the opportunity to go back and get it. So if you hear something funny, it ain't right, grab that gun first. Story number 2. Illinois homeowner shoots home invader. A Springfield homeowner heard noises in his house one afternoon and shortly thereafter was confronted by an unknown male who had forcibly entered the home. Fortunately, the homeowner, fearing for his life, was able to get to a gun he had kept for protection and shoot the invader, who fled the scene. The wounded invader was later apprehended by police when he sought medical attention for the gunshot wound. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, the homeowner heard noises of a break-in. What didn't he immediately do? That's right. He didn't go for his gun first. If it doesn't sound right, get armed, then check things out. Story number three. Chicago homeowner defends against a burglar. Hearing strange noises at the home one evening, a 60-year-old Chicago man found a crowbar-wielding individual had broken into his home. Fearing for his life, the homeowner took up a legally owned handgun and fired on the intruder several times, wounding him and causing him to flee. Police apprehended the criminal when he sought medical treatment for his gunshot wounds at a local hospital. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, this is almost the same scenario as the last story, but the way it's written gives me the impression that he did go for his gun once he heard the noise. So, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. So what do you do when you hear that weird noise? It just doesn't sound right. Get yourself armed. Story number four, last story. Florida, a guy who's 80 years old scares off home invader. Seeing an unknown man break into his living room window and attempt entry into his home, an 81-year-old man used a .22 caliber pistol to fire several shots at the burglar, who fled the scene. The homeowner reported fearing for his own safety, that of his wife, who was also home at the time. In my commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see how this story shows that the homeowner was ready before the bad guy got into his home? If it doesn't seem right, arm yourself first. If it's nothing, then don't use the gun. If it is, well, then you're ready. So the basic moral of these stories are, whenever you hear something funny going on, be sure you go to get your weapon first. It's not going to do you any good if something happens and you don't have the ability to go back and get your weapon. So make sure if you hear that funny noise and it just doesn't sound right, arm yourself first, okay? Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is usually my opinion piece, and I'm going to give you my opinion, but I want to make a disclaimer here first. I do this show. People ask me, why do you do this show? And sometimes I got to look in the mirror and ask myself, sometimes I wonder why I do this show. I do this show because I feel as though, with my age and experience, I've got something to offer. And it's just my makeup, my being. I'm not really a teacher. A teacher is one who learns something that somebody else knows and then teaches somebody else. I am a teacher, but I'm also a creator. I look at all the things out there. I glean all this information. I come up with hypotheses and ideas and concepts, try to advance, modernize, smooth out the rough edges, make better, make quicker, all the different techniques possible. So I'm not just a teacher, I'm an innovator in a lot of things. Sometimes, however, my opinion may not be the opinions of others, and God bless America for it too. But I want to make something clear on this program. This is my show, and it's sponsored by different types of people. And those people may not have the same view that I have, although they like most of the show. So I want to make the disclaimer is this. The opinions that I put on this show are mine alone. They have nothing to do with sponsors or other guests unless they acknowledge it for themselves. So I just want to make that clear. What I say comes from me. Doesn't necessarily mean it's supported 100% by anybody associated with the show, you, the listener, or whoever. Okay? So I wanted to make that clear. Or the radio station, for that matter. So now, with this said, let me read to you this week's opinion piece. It's titled, I've Come to the Conclusion. Ladies and gentlemen, I've come to the conclusion that those who wish to ban guns because they think that will solve the problem of saving people's lives are just plain stupid. Yep, I said it. I think all you people who want to ban guns but not knives, cars, trucks, sticks, forks, hammers, whatever, are stupid. If I was nice, I would just say you're ignorant, but you're not ignorant. You're just plain stupid. Guns are here to stay. They are here to defend this country from a rogue government. They are here to defend your freedom, your home, your loved ones, your property. I can teach an ignorant person. I can show them the facts. And if they're true Americans, show them the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and they will come to learn and respect the need for firearms in the world we live in. But to you, the idiot, you're a hopeless cause. Your sorry rear end has probably never been raped, assaulted, robbed, mugged, threatened, kidnapped, beaten, molested, or whatever. Even if it has, and you still want to take the guns away, then you're an idiot of mass proportions. As the adage goes, if something happens, the first thing you will do is call someone with a gun and then pray that they get there fast. Your logic is not logic at all. It's pure emotion. Emotions make for bad decisions. Logic does not. Even though you're an idiot, I'll bet you're smart enough not to put a sign in your yard that reads, "This is a gun-free home." If you're stupid enough to do that, I'll pay for the sign and promote it on my show for all the masses to hear. I'm sure that will make you feel warm and fuzzy inside, knowing that thousands of people know you have made your home safe by having no guns in it. I'm sure when you call 911, the police won't be too busy to respond either. They should respond in a good 10 to 15 minutes if you're lucky. If not, I guess you'll hide behind some pillows. I can't completely blame you, though, because the culture we live in promotes this idiocy. The news, the propaganda. You're just weak-minded followers. So here's a bold idea. Put your man pants on. Get your panties out of a wad and face life head on, not behind a pile of pillows or cowering under a school desk. Guns are here to stay. They will be here until the lion lays down with the lamb. And even then, I'll bet that lamb has a pistol under his pillow. Joel, let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. We're going to go over the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Second Amendment. See you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Our Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Today is March 31st, 2018, and we got another hour and 40 minutes to go here, but we've got a caller on the line. I think I moved somebody to action with my opinion piece, so let's get this young lady on the line and see. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the show. Who am I speaking to?
Bobby Withers. And let me say this. We do not need AK-15s to protect our homes.
Well, I agree with you, ma'am, because an AK-15 would look pretty stupid. There's an AK-47 and there's an AR-15, but I've never seen an AK-15.
Well, whatever those rapid speed guns may be called, I don't own a rapid speed gun and I don't ever intend to. If our government is taken over, it'll be taken over without, no matter how many rapid speed guns everybody has. But anyway, the thing is, those guns should belong to the military and to our law enforcement officers against those people that are coming at them with AK-15s and all the rapid speed guns. And I have a gun in my home just like most people do. It's one, and a man did try to break my door down one night, and I had my gun in my hand, and he ran before he got the door down. Anyway, and the police caught him. I'm thankful for the policemen here in Cameron. Very, very good. We have a very good police force. But we're not idiots because we don't think that we don't believe in people buying, the general public owning AK-15s. All these people begin to own AK-15s and rapid speed guns, whatever that, you know, I don't know the name of all these rapid speed guns. But anyway, then they're very available to anyone else to steal, and the people that would like to do the mass killing, like in the school, down in the church down in South Texas, and in the schools. And if it was a pistol in a school, he could not kill as many people. They could not, let me put it this way, the person could not kill as many people.
Ma'am, I want to thank you very much, ma'am, for calling. Let me make a couple of comments. I proudly wore a uniform to defend this country, to give you that freedom of opinion, and God bless you for it. However, ma'am, I want to respectfully say to you, I disagree with what you're saying in some respects. In others, I may agree, but when it comes to the choice of a firearm, the statistics clearly show that the majority of the people who are law-abiding citizens do not do terrible crimes like that. It's a very small few that get blown out of proportion due to the media with an agenda, and it just, they want to divide and conquer and make it seem like it's the boogeyman. It's not the boogeyman. It's the people who use it. We have a mental issue problem in this country, and we need to address that. Because if you used your argument, we should take off every truck from the road, every fork from the dinner table, every knife in a person's pocket, because all those do the same thing, if not more. But I do appreciate your call. I do respect your opinion. However, I disagree with it on portions of it. But I want to thank you very much. Ross, did you have an opinion on that?
I just want to say,
I wanted to say this. You can't kill as many people with a fork as you can
true.
With AK-15.
I'll
make this comment. If you look up, they had a major incident in China. I do not have the 100% facts on this, but a major incident in China where hundreds were killed with knives. Okay, so I used the wrong utensil. Let's not say a fork, however they can call it. The point is this. Anybody can kill anybody with anything. Okay, a person driving down the road with a truck can run over and maul a whole bunch of people like it has happened. Why don't they ban the trucks? It has nothing to do with the equipment. It has to do with the mental attitude of the people on drugs, religious agendas, the whole works. And God bless America. God bless the ability to defend ourselves. And I'm going to fight to the death for that right.
It's pretty easy to build a bomb.
Well, that's fine. But don't be calling people idiots because they don't think like you do.
Well, I appreciate that, ma'am. And I was looking up words like naive and ignorant and idiot seemed to fit. So that's why I used it. But I appreciate it. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, feel free to give us a call, 254-697-6633, if you got a comment. But now what we're going to do, Joel, I want to play about a five-minute clip before we get in with Ross here talking about the Second Amendment, the rights, and all that. This is pretty interesting. And, ma'am, you'll be interested in this because it talks a lot about statistics. So let's play that. Everybody, crank up your radio and listen. Some of it can get muffled at times. But this is from Stossel. I like Stossel. He comes up with some good stuff. So let's check it out. Go ahead and play it.
Hello, I'm Don Daler, and this is 2020 In Touch. On Friday, we had a new entry in our series, Myths, Lies, and Downright Stupidity. Of the 10 myths we covered, and you won't be surprised at this one, the most talked about was gun control reduces crime. Here's John Stossel.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
The belief that gun control prevents gun crime is why many were upset this spring when
a bombshell court ruling could put handguns back in D.C. homes.
A court threw out Washington, D.C.'s 30-year ban on guns. And that's outrageous, said public officials.
More guns, very simply, lead to more violence.
I don't know how anyone could be serious in saying that, because the gun violence went up when they banned handguns.
Tom Palmer's one of the plaintiffs who sued D.C. over the right to have a gun. He's correct about gun violence going up. Since Washington's gun law passed, the murder rate actually increased, even while America's murder rate dropped. It's because guns can also save lives, says Palmer, as one saved his years ago in California.
We were walking on the street, and this group of young men took really strong exception to that. They stood up, 19 or 20 young guys followed us, and they told us, we're going to kill you, they'll never find the bodies. And I turned around and showed them the business end of a pistol.
Just pulling out the gun was enough to stop them.
Yeah, it works. Merely having a weapon and being able to display it when I was threatened saved my life.
Now, you may think that carrying a gun, as Palmer did, is illegal in most of America. But it's not.
Many people don't realize that today in America, in about 40 states, it is legal to carry a concealed weapon on your person.
And in those 40 states, there is no more violent crime or murder than in states where guns are restricted. The town of Kennesaw, Georgia, went a step further and passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. Did they then experience a crime wave? No.
Well, after the city ordinance passed, there was actually a decrease in reported crime in the Kennesaw area, especially violent crime.
Now, I don't want politicians ordering me to have a gun. and the law isn't enforced here. But townspeople we talk to like the law.
I think it makes people think twice.
This is a very peaceful place to be. We should have guns. I mean, that's what free society do.
These maximum security felons said they fear an armed victim much more than the police.
When you're going to rob somebody you don't know, it makes it harder.
And they said gun laws don't matter to them. They don't obey them.
I'm not worrying about the government saying that I can't carry a gun. I'm going to carry a gun anyway.
It's impossible to know exactly how often guns stop criminals, because who reports a crime that doesn't happen? But people use guns in self-defense every day.
Often just showing a gun is enough to prevent the crime.
When robbers broke into Joyce and Raymond Pappin's home and attacked Raymond, he yelled,
"Get the gun, get the gun."
Joyce did, and when the robbers saw it, they ran away.
Boy, when he saw the gun, he just started running, and they weren't just walking fast, they were running. They had boots on, you could hear them boots a-clopping.
Joyce says having a gun changes the balance of power. And here's a controversial idea. Some Virginia Tech students say they wish students had been allowed to carry guns, because one of them might have stopped the killer before he shot so many people. And that's what happened 5 years ago at the Appalachian School of Law. Hearing shots, two students went to their cars, got their guns, and helped restrain this shooter until police arrested him.
One of the things that the gun does is it equalizes unequals. My mom told me when I was a young boy, because she was armed, she was never afraid.
So, gun control isn't necessarily crime control. In fact, the National Academy of Sciences reviewed hundreds of studies and could not document a single gun regulation that reduced violent crime or murder.
If someone gets into your house, which would you rather have, a handgun or a telephone? You can call the police if you want, and they'll get there, and they'll take a picture of your dead body. But they can't get there in time to save your life. The first line of defense is you.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's March 31st, 2018. Now, that was specifically talking about handguns, but the big rage is about AR-15s and all of that. The bottom line is, it's not the gun, it's the person. I got Attorney Extraordinary Benton Ross Watson here. He's got a whole bunch of notes. We've been talking about this debate, and this is a hot topic, and I totally understand why we get emotional. And when you get emotional, things can be said. So, Ross, welcome to the show, as always. It's good to have you on here.
Welcome.
I'll tell you what do we got going here? You and I talk all the time, and tell us where we're at.
Yeah. So I think you just, like I said, we've been on here before. We said we don't really, probably to our demise sometimes, but we don't really prepare for our discussions. I think we like to keep it kind of open and honest. And,
well, we're both sharp on our each particular topic. So we
just kind of say a topic and then kind of go with it. And some days it's interesting. Yeah, and I think your topic was today you wanted to get into some of the constitutional principles. It was you sent me an article, actually, that the individual was arguing that the Second Amendment was an individual right instead of being a governmental constitutional provision in and of itself, or something that was given to us, so to speak, by the Constitution. And really, that's nothing new. And so to really give an explanation, let me just quote the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So a well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed.
In your notes, do you have the preamble to the Bill of Rights?
Yes, let's not get into that because we're going to run short of time.
Okay, but anyway,
It
doesn't matter, but I want it anyway. Joel, would you look up find out for me the preamble of the Bill of Rights, and I'll talk about it later.
Okay, so really, if you want to know everything about the Second Amendment, you can get great information from the District of Columbia versus Heller, a United States Supreme Court case written by Justice Antonin Scalia, and in 2008. That was where the District of Columbia tried to ban certain weapons, handguns especially, saying they had to be disassembled. You could get a petition from the local law enforcement officer, but even then it had to be disassembled or locked in the home, basically useless, even if you had a petition to use it. And several people appealed. It was really a scholar who set up the appeal. There was a couple of lawyers involved as the plaintiffs, but there was also a police officer, two police officers, a couple of government officials were ones. They wanted to take their gun to the house after they got off of work. They wanted it for home defense. They wanted it, a couple wanted recreational use. They said that District of Columbia was not a state. Right? And so, regardless of the, you know, militia clause, right, it wasn't a state, and that, so it didn't apply. They said, and it wasn't an individual right. And so, nothing in the 14th Amendment made it apply to District of Columbia, and it could do what it want, basically, in disregard of the Constitution, because it was not individual to every person. So, before I get into that actual opinion, though, I want to say, this is a lot of what we have in our, you know, Bill of Rights. So we have the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment we've talked about, and the Second Amendment, and you know, even to the fact of no quartering of soldiers, right, in the Third, and even in the Ninth and Tenth, giving all of the rights to the people, and taking the Fifth Amendment due process into consideration, all the criminal rights, all of these things are a hodgepodge that work together, and each one is essential for the other. For instance, without a First Amendment right, how do you have lawyers? Without the due process right, how is your lawyer going to argue for you? Without a First Amendment right, how are you going to have a press to expose corruption? Without the First Amendment right, how are you going to petition courts when the courts themselves have no oversight? Mm-hmm. Right? Without the Fourth Amendment, if they could seize and search every single paper in your house and take every paper without, you know, based on general warrants like they used to do, then the free speech would be useless.
Right.
Each one interacts with the other in such a way that it makes one big bulwark, what the courts have said in the past, a bulwark of protection to stonewall, right, overzealous government officials. Different sorts of government officials, from the military to prosecutors, to judges, to sheriffs, to police chiefs, even downright to administrative officials, tax officials, everybody in the government prevents overzealous action. And so each one of these is essential. And then when you look at it, when you go back to especially how these started, how America started, how the Bill of Rights was made, it was a big push in the 1700s and 1600s that there were rights that were ordained by God. There were rights that were ordained by God, because if the courts were not subject, if they were subject to themselves, there would be no oversight. Mm-hmm. And so there was this big push that the courts were subject to God, because there were rights that were personal, inherent, right, and personal freedom, which was God's right to judge, and no one else's right. Does this make sense?
It makes sense to me, brother.
Okay, so if the courts have no oversight, then those any rights that were given by courts could be taken away. But rights that were given by God, or that were natural, that pre-existed the existence of the courts themselves, right, could not be taken away by the courts. Does this make sense?
Total.
The courts could not take away something that existed before the courts existed, right, by natural, inherent, God's process. Okay, and so there's a lot more to this, and so if you have questions about what I'm saying, you can get in touch with me, or I'll email you some information on it. But that's basically the big push, and it was to deter general warrants and general conduct. And so you had then the development of the anti-federalists and the federalists that created the Constitution. You had famous people like Patrick Henry, who was a lawyer's lawyer, trial lawyer. Okay, and saw all the injustice, made famous, poor, had several unsuccessful businesses, went as a lawyer and just skyrocketed in representing people who were unrepresented, people who were common people, and he ends up being one of the strongest advocates and best trial lawyers. Have you ever heard of Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death? That was Patrick Henry. He had made another famous speech. Caesar had his Brutus. Charles I had his Cromwell, George III, everybody yells, treason, treason, treason. And he looks at him and says, if this be treason, make the most of it. Okay,
wow.
And so, and this
I'm
goes,
impressed, Ross.
This
I'm
goes
impressed.
Back, yeah, this goes back to you know, 1765, that was Patrick Henry in the House of Burgesses in Virginia, right, and the Second Virginia Convention. This is some of the most inherent, right, and I talk about these because this goes into context of the founding. This goes into context of what why we needed these rights and why these rights were so sacred. And it was because there was overzealous. I mean, I wish I could had time to talk to you about the general warrants and the tax or the stamp acts and the tax acts and the things that happened and how they there would be government officials just storm into your building or your office or your home, right, because they didn't like what you were saying or because they didn't like your business or because they didn't like your affiliation or status. These things happened, and every one of the founding fathers were also hypocrites in their own way. They each did something, but there was this general understanding that in general, you know, maybe there's an exception to every rule, but we have these rights that cannot be ignored by government. And so then you have these Federalists, and this is why we had the Federalists and Anti-Federalists. Some famous ones are Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, John Adams, one of my favorite, almost all-time favorite jurists, Chief Justice John Marshall. Okay, and these guys actually argued that a lot of these guys actually argued we should not make a Bill of Rights because these rights are already inherent. If we make a Bill of Rights, people are going to assume that they were given to us by the government. This was several of the arguments by Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, John Adams. It's, why would you want to make it appear as though we don't already have these rights? These rights already exist. We already have free speech. We can already carry guns. Guns was essential to everyday life.
Could the argument be that if somebody who may not be as educated, at least they've got a place of reference they can go to see it?
This and Patrick Henry and people that were in the courts knew the government would eventually, slowly, slow process of just taking control and taking your rights daily, day by day by day by day. And I can tell you, thank God we had the Bill of Rights, because look, the Fourth Amendment is already useless today. I'm telling you, the Fourth Amendment is basically useless, right, as we sit today. And it used to be we could shoot people. We could shoot a police officer who was trespassing on our property. Okay, to some degree, you may have a self-defense claim, but you're almost not going to have a Fourth Amendment issue, right, in that sort of context. We do not have the same kinds of constitutional rights today that we did. And so all of their premonitions, all the things that they predicted would happen by the government, which slowly eats away and chews away at individual liberties, right, has proven to be true. Were it not for these Bill of Rights, there's no telling where we would be today, because sometimes the Bill of Rights has been the only thing to save us, right, from over-promulgation, a proliferation of regulatory control.
That's why I wanted to read the preamble. I'm not going to do it now, but I'm going to read it, because in it, it says basically, we want no confusion, we want no misunderstandings, and we'll read it later, Joel, but keep going.
And so, I want you to know, we already had these things as an individual right, and that is a good segue into Heller, because that's exactly what Justice Scalia said. He said that we have these individual rights when we look at it, when you look at the plain text, because shall not be infringed, right? Shall not be infringed, okay, says that the right already exists. Okay, shall not be infringed, you start there, that's what the whole article was about. If it shall not be infringed, this thing didn't actually give a right. It basically said that it shall not be infringed. Okay, and the plain text of the language, which Scalia actually brings up, but there was an operative clause, and there was a prefatory clause, and the prefatory clause is a well-regulated militia being necessary to secure a free state. Okay, that's the prefatory clause. And so a lot of people say, well, the only thing that says is we're allowed to have guns for a militia, right? And the operative clause is the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Justice Scalia points out that throughout history and throughout the writings of the general era, the operative clause is what we take into effect. And sometimes prefatory clauses like the preamble to the Constitution were meant to be controlling, and other times they weren't. And so, but that's why people understood that prefatory clauses weren't controlling. Right, they were put in there maybe as a descriptive usage, but there was no evidence that this was meant to be absolutely restrictive. Without absolute evidence of that, it was understood that any kind of prefatory clause was simply there as a descriptive way, but it did not encompass everything that the individual provision discussed. Okay, and so basically, it says the right of the people, the right of the people, and so. The dissent in Heller tried to say that the people is citizens. If it was meant to be individual, they would have used if it was meant to be individual, they would have used citizens as opposed to the people. The people meant some class, and that the people was often used as part of the militia, and so that had to be the militia. And Justice Scalia goes into context and other texts and writings and just really kills the dissent in this position, because the people in most contexts meant the polity, the community of people, the people in general, the people who were citizens of the state, right? And citizens was never used on the federal level. That was only used at the state. And in fact, citizens in these terms was used with the right to bear arms. And so it only looked like the people meant to keep the people of the United States, okay, give them these rights. And I don't want to get too academic here, but I think it's important that people know all of this stuff. And I think that when you look at it and somebody tries to tell you, well, that thing talks about a militia. These guns, it bothers me. These young kids, I know they mean well, get on there and say, we don't need a militia. We couldn't take the government over anyway, or we're not going to be able to protect ourselves, or this and that. To the lady who called, Matt and I disagree all the time, for one, but we do appreciate.
It'd be a pretty boring show if we agreed all the time.
Right, exactly. But we disagree pretty often, I think. And not necessarily about the fundamental issues, but definitely about some side issues. We have a lot of fun jargon back and forth because of our disagreements. But
yeah, but the bottom line is, I think we always want the same result. It's just right. The method of getting there.
If the people had broken into the lady's house with AR-15s and or AK-47s, and all she had was a pistol, right? This puts her as a disadvantage. Can I have a little more time? Oh, just
got
a little bit.
We got lots of time.
Okay, he's playing the music here.
You playing music? Okay, we're good.
Okay, and so as far as if they tried to come in with these assault weapons and she had no way to defend herself with the use of a pistol, that's putting her in a very bad situation.
Well,
and the same was true.
I would differ if you're trained on how to use it, but I understand your point.
But not everybody is man. I mean, when you look at me shooting and you look at you shooting on Friday nights, there's no comparison.
It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with, I know, I understand operational procedures of weapons, and you got a semi with a semi. One's a rifle, one's a pistol. It's all tactics, okay? That's all it is. So if you're so worried about it, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the general masses, just get some training.
It's possible you have more rounds, though.
I have a pistol that can hold 30 rounds.
Again, he's referring to himself as the general population. I love
you know how many people out there got 30 round mags?
I don't think that you guys are the general people. I mean,
what I'm saying,
we disagree.
Here's another one.
We agree to disagree. Okay, so look. So just assuming though she had these not trained as well as you are, this maybe puts her at a disadvantage, okay? At least looks a lot scarier, okay? And more intimidating. So that's, in fact, what was happening in the day. These weapons were used for self-defense. They were used for hunting. They were used to defend crops. And they were used to make sure that the government... It was a classic scheme. It was very common for the government to get rid of militias by getting rid of guns. The king would often not get rid of the militia. He wouldn't ban militias. He would ban the ownership of guns. This is how he would make the militias useless.
Wouldn't that be kind of the same thing as like saying, keep your guns, but we're not going to let you have ammunition?
Right. Keep your guns. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They completely banned ammunition. And so it must be, since the militia is made up of the people, right, who already had guns, and in context, they carried guns every day.
That's right.
Okay. I mean, it was already known at the time, like very well known, you had a right to carry a weapon. And so... during that time, if that's the context, and the militia was made of a common man, and the people were allowed to carry already, then it was already known that you could not ban guns, right? Because that's how you ban a militia, is to ban people's right to carry a gun. So the right to carry a gun had already existed, point blank, period. And I want to get to the last part, because I know we're running short on time, but I want to make this point. I think it's big.
5 minutes.
I think it's big. Scalia goes into post-Civil War legislation and post-Civil War commentary and commentators that wrote in that time, because there was a big push. There was a big push right after Civil War to take away weapons, one, and to especially take away weapons of the black freedmen, right? The slaves that were freed. Because, see, they still wanted to keep control over these people. This wasn't necessarily the government. Right? These were other private citizens not wanting freed slaves to have weapons because they did not want the free slaves to have any power.
It's the same thing that's happening today, only in corporations. Corporations and the big money want to sway the way politics goes.
Well, you need to talk to Rick Dodd about that. But, no, that's right. I agree. But, hey, so this was government as well as private citizens trying to take away, right, the right to bear arms of black men. And they were saying, and black men and women, by saying that they had no right to bear arms. This was making the very similar arguments that we hear made today. And we hear time and time again, we see legislation, right, that's made, that's allowing black freedmen the right to carry. I think I underlined one of them here. So there was the Congress enacted the Freedmen's Bureau Act on July 6th of 1866, and it says it was to protect black freedmen in some context, and it says the right to have full and equal benefit of all laws, proceedings concerning personal liberty, personal security, the acquisition, enjoyment, and disposition of estate, real and personal, including the constitutional right to bear arms. If it was only about a militia. If it was only about a militia, there's no way that Congress would have made this enactment. There's no way that would have passed the rest of these laws if it only dealt with militia. It was viewed as an inherently individual personal right of self-defense to defend your castle, your homestead, your crops, your property, your right to free speech, your right to due process, your right to counsel, your right to challenge. Right, governmental control, governmental overzealous proliferation of regulatory control that was overzealous, right, and in violation of your liberties. Today, we have to be careful, or we be charged for murder for shooting police when they come and trespass on our place. But that's what I was saying. We have no rights today, and I feel like that's why there is more citizen-on-police violence, is because the Constitution has become basically useless, and so police are free, more free to invade people's personal space, and I believe that people have gotten more irritated, right, by having to justify themselves in every single thing they do. We've talked about the millions of criminal laws out there, both state, and then we talked about how it doubles or maybe even quadruples.
So then,
when you talk about the state effect plus the regulatory control, we're not even talking about administrative provisions from the state. And so when people feel like they're under this pressure and that they have really no freedom, this is when people start to push back. And I feel like...
Let me ask you something then. Why do I get so much heat? Because I'm not saying from you, I'm saying in general. Why do I get so much heat when I want to get to the core element of what that Constitution and Bill of Rights is? Because we're deviating from it so far. It's becoming diluted, watered down, and useless. I want to go back to its purest form. Because from that purest form, we can start once again to do it the way it was meant to be. And that's to be able to protect yourself and all the other rights that you had just mentioned. But that center core line, they're strangling the goose and they're killing the goose that lays the egg. So why do I get so much heat? Because what you're saying is, you say you agree with me.
I agree that that the Second Amendment protects individual rights. Now, Heller did not
protects all the other rights too.
It didn't. There was another push to say that the Constitution at that time talked about muskets. There were muskets. We don't have this. Well, if that's true, then your free speech would be useless because there were no computers. Right, there was no Facebook, there was no social media, right, and so that means we don't have any free speech. We don't have any free speech because those are new methods of communication that weren't back at the time. No, yes, to some degree, I'm an originalist. I'm at least a textualist, right, to the Constitution. There's no hiding that fact. I don't shy away from that, right. I'm not one of these people that thinks the living Constitution, but you cannot read it that narrowly, right. And no one can read it that narrowly. It applies to the acts of government. To the types of method and manners of government, not to the individual technology of the day. That's why under the Fourth Amendment, police can use technology, right? To they can in Kilo or Kylo, I heard it pronounced both ways, right? They can use some censors, but not others, right? There were no censors in the constant colonial times, right? So some they can use, some they can't. When it invades the privacy of the home. Right, then it's invasive, and it's violative of individual liberty.
In your opinion, Ross, what do you think is truly the detriment to this country and its Constitution and Bill of Rights. What do you think is the detriment?
Lack of education, breakdown of the family unit, yeah, right? Over-regulation to some degree, and then not enough regulation.
Inaction by the citizenry, too, of being, like you said, knowledgeable, learning. But I got to blame some of this. It gets down to the individual. Each individual has the responsibility to be learned on subjects. However, there's a lot of manipulation out there by media, people with sordid gain. They want sordid gain and do malicious things to get those sordid gains. And people are weak-minded and happen to fall into a line with those types of people. But I agree. It's a lack of learning, pride, love of country, a whole bunch of factors. And you have a mental issue going on, too.
And like I said, there's different viewpoints. There are those that with the, you know, view the Constitution as a living document, should update with the times and the fashions of society, right? I believe that that is dangerous, but I have many great friends, and I have well-respected professors that have this view, and I mean, they're very good people, and they're very good lawyers, and they've been very good lawyers, and they're a lot smarter than me. But there's a lot of other smart people that are smarter than me on the other side as well, in the same camp as I am.
I'm okay with things like that, as long as the core thread stays solid. The goose is well and, you know, alive and well. And then if we want to paint the golden eggs that come out, color them different colors, rainbow colors, whatever colors you want, I'm okay with that. And if it doesn't work, we try something different. But my fear and what I actually see is that the core element, the goose, is being plucked. Feathers plucked, strangled, the whole works.
And so it's hard to say, too, about... it's hard for people to know what the real truth is when you have so much politics and so much money being thrown around, mm-hmm, and for lobbyists and throwing all kinds of statistics, none are consistent. How do you even know what's true? And then you see this tragedy, and it's kids die. And I can tell you, as a trial lawyer, I've had cases where my guys pled. I think they're innocent, but a kid got hurt, and so we pled guilty because the facts look bad. And so it looks bad. And I think people have gotten emotional and have not looked at history and context and the real statistics, but not all of that is their fault, because it's got so blurred. Everything has gotten so blurred, right, from the two camps. And it's just, it's hard
for
common.
We're going to run just about a minute late here. You know how I do an analogy like this. I remember a driver ed course. As you're coming up to a traffic light, there's three different zones. There's the comfortable stop, there's the aggressive stop, and then there's the overshot because you didn't time it right to the red light, okay? I feel as though this country is at a massive hard break to make the stop sign. And that is why you're getting people like me getting aggressive in opinion pieces and all that, because I see we're coming up to that stop sign. We are out of the green zone. We are deep in the yellow, about to hit the red zone and crossing the stop sign line where you're going to get that ticket. I do not want to go there. I'm putting on the brakes hard with 2 feet. The wheels are burning rubber on the pavement because I came to a screeching halt. That's what I believe this country's at, and that's what I'm trying to do. Because when we get past that point, we go over the precipice, man, you can't get it back.
It's a slippery slope.
Slippery slope. Tell everybody who you are, what you got. Rick, we thank you very much for the sponsorship of the segment.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Rick had some comments, some texts for me, ideas. I appreciate it always. I'm at 105 East Main here in Cameron. Like we said, down by the cattle pen. So that's just adding on down here. Come see me. I got the big milk cow on the side. You can't miss it. Also, I have an office in Houston, College Station, by appointment. So holler at me at 254-605-4140, 254-605-4140, or you can email me at benton@watson.legal. Otherwise, if you have a shot with Matt this weekend, or maybe at next couple weekends, make sure you toast to high treason.
Okay. Yeah. All right, look, everybody, we thank everybody for listening for the segment. Ma'am, we appreciate the call in. Anybody else want to give us a call? 254-697-6633. Joel, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have the delicious... Actually, let's go right into... let's get Janae's segment started. Janae Goodman's going to be going over an excellent topic, and that's eggs for this upcoming Easter.
Hello, my lovelies. I'm so happy today. So happy to share some exciting facts with you and give you some excellent ideas to step up your egg game. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Let's get cracking. Eggs are about 78 calories. Most of those calories are contained within the yolk, or the yellow portion of the egg. The egg whites also contain calories, but the egg whites are much lower in cholesterol. Therefore, those of you with high cholesterol should stray away from eating the entire egg. Eggs come in all kinds of different colors. The color has nothing to do with the composition or the nutritional value of the egg. Instead, the egg color is actually dependent of the breed of the chicken. So, regardless of if you enjoy white, brown, green, or blue eggs, don't fret. Your egg will come packed with energy-boosting vitamins and protein. Eggs aren't nearly as intimidating as they may seem, I promise. For instance, poached eggs may seem like a pain, but if you line a small bowl with plastic wrap, coat it with a small amount of nonstick spray, crack your egg into it, and tie the plastic baggie so the egg is sealed inside, you'll have a perfectly spherical egg every single time. Sunny-side-up eggs just need to be cracked into a small, greased, oven-safe skillet and baked at 350 degrees until the whites are no longer clear. Scrambled eggs can be made in the microwave. Whisk up your eggs with salt, pepper, and a splash of milk. Spray a microwave-safe container with nonstick sprayer oil and pour your whisked eggs into it. Cover it loosely with a bit of plastic wrap and microwave for about 2 minutes. This method is perfect for when you can't spare the time to cook an elaborate breakfast or you just need a quick egg sandwich or a quick snack. So how are you supposed to know if your eggs are still good to use? Well, one method just uses a tall glass of water and your uncracked egg. To test your egg, carefully place the egg in your glass of water and wait to see if it sinks or floats. If your egg sinks, it's fresh and it's suitable for eating. If it rests somewhere in the middle, it should be used as soon as possible. If your egg floats like a boat, toss it. It's deemed spoiled at that point. Older eggs are best for boiling. They've had time to weaken in a sense, meaning that the egg whites won't stick to your shell when you try to peel them. So boiling them could be a great way to utilize those middle resting eggs. If you need to remove an eggshell from your cracked eggs, use a portion of the shell. The accidental piece is attracted to it, meaning it's less hassle for you. If you often see a grayish yolk when you cook your hard-boiled eggs, you may be boiling them for too long. Egg yolks should be a bright yellow, and you achieve that by boiling your eggs for about 10 to 12 minutes. The gray ring you see is caused by a gas bubble that pops inside of the egg. This is also what's responsible for that sulfur smell of rotten eggs. Did you know that there's 100 ways to cook an egg? So you shouldn't have to scramble for ideas for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Some of the more popular options include fried, poached, scrambled, boiled, and deviled eggs. Eggs deserve a standing ovation for all of the foods that they elevate. They're delicious on their own, but did you know that eggs can be used to thicken soups and sauces? Take carbonara sauce, for example. This Italian-style dish uses starchy pasta water, Parmesan cheese, and whisked eggs to create a smooth, creamy, delicious sauce. Eggs can also be great for textural use, much like an egg drop soup, where beaten eggs are steadily streamed or dropped into a hot broth. For now, let's step up that boiled egg game of yours, starting with the scotch egg. For 9 scotch eggs, you'll need 9 large hard-boiled eggs, about a pound and a half of ground raw sausage, half a teaspoon of ground nutmeg, 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard, salt and pepper to taste, and half a cup of finely chopped parsley. You'll also want to keep flour, scrambled eggs, and breadcrumbs for your breading station, as well as oil for frying. Cool your hard-boiled eggs in cool water and peel off the shell. Next, prepare and season your sausage by mixing it with your ground nutmeg, Dijon mustard, salt and pepper, and parsley. Set it aside. Before you begin nesting your eggs in delicious sausage, set up your breading station by putting flour, 3 scrambled eggs, and fine breadcrumbs all into separate medium bowls. Now you can take your sausage mixture and completely cover each of your boiled eggs with it. Carefully dip each sausage-wrapped boiled egg into flour, egg wash, and then finally your breadcrumbs. Fry each breaded egg over medium-high heat for about 6 minutes or until they're golden brown. Remove them from the oil and drain on a paper towel before enjoying. You'd think I'd be exhausted from all that exceptional information, but if you need to know more, email me at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. Have a sunny side up weekend, and until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a great Easter morning. I hope everybody's got up good to the sunrise service, went and have Easter egg hunts with your kiddos. Just don't forget to tell them what the real meaning of Easter is. That way they understand it besides just the Easter rabbit and all that good junk. Today, what I thought we'd do is I thought we'd do a little bit of history. I'm going to do a history lesson today. And I think it's important to understand this history lesson really is kind of timely for this time, especially this part of our year. I don't know if you've kept up with the news the last two or three weeks, but if you have or have not, it's once again, it's coming into the news where the police departments across the country are under fire because they've had to use their weapon in defense of their life. Now, and who knows, unless you're there at the time, really no one should pass judgment. But I know there's protests all over the country going on right now. And I really, I feel sorry for the people that were shot, but I also feel sorry for the officers that had to do the shooting. It's a terrible, terrible thing for an officer to have to take a life. But I'm going to tell you what, those police officers have about the same mindset as any military person does. They want to go home at night, and I can't blame them for what they do. So at various times, throughout our recent history, the public and the police forces around the country and around the world have seen the odds with each other. While many within this law enforcement community that I was so proud of the last 44 years are quick to blame the tensions to the unfortunate result of increasing, I know there's a lot of entitlement out there, but even police officers too often remain ignorant or unwilling to explore the role of the police force in contributing to the apparent discord that exists between the community and the police who we serve. Police work is basically a surprisingly young profession, believe it or not. Some forget, and many don't even know, that the modern history of police and the police force as we know it is not that long. It's not that old. In fact, policing is less than 200 years old in this country. We founded this country in 1776, which was 42 years ago. The concept of a modern, organized, and uniformed police force was only first established in 1829 in London, England, and didn't even make it across the United States until 1845, with the police force being formed in New York City. So with that in mind, what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about where we got our start as police work. And I want people to understand what is the responsibility of law enforcement. That big distrust, that huge distrust, that just causes attention, and it causes a public distrust that we can't sometimes correct. There was a lot of resistance then, and there is now, to the idea of a uniform, armed, occupying force patrolling the streets of a community. We better get used to it in this country. Used to, you'd go to the airport, you didn't have to stand in line and get checked by TSA. The times are changing. We have to understand that with time and change comes a lot of different issues that we have to deal with in our country. The modern police force, as we know it today, was founded by a gentleman named Sir Robert Peel. Any rookie police officer who goes to the very first day of the police academy to the last day of his job, whether it's 20 years later or 44 years later, doesn't need to forget that the one who founded what we do today was a gentleman by name Sir Robert Peel. He was the Prime Minister of England. He was also the Home Secretary, what we now call the head of our FBI, for the Peelian projects. He came up with nine ideas, nine Peelian principles that we still use today in modern policing. That's why he's called the father of modern police work. These principles outline the purpose and the mission of policing provide us with all police departments with something that they better never lose sight of and why they exist and who they serve. Sir Robert Peel's principles, paraphrased, are perhaps more necessary now than ever before, folks. And those within and without law enforcement community, they would do well to recall what they are. I admonish any administrator, whether he's a sheriff or he's police chief, or whether he's just a supervisor, a sergeant, that he needs to refresh his memory on what these are. And I'm going to go over these nine Pelagian principles, and I'm going to talk a little bit about each one of them. The first one and foremost one is the basic mission for which police exist is to prevent crime and disorder as an alternative to the repression of crime and disorder by military force and severity of legal punishment. In other words, we're here, police officers are here, so that we don't have to have a military-occupied land. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but would we rather have police officers responding to a call, or would you rather have a whole platoon of military personnel driving the streets every night? We're not a third-world country. We live in a civilized nation. The number two Peel principle says the ability of the police to perform their duties is dependent upon public approval of police existence, actions, behaviors, and the ability of the police to secure and maintain public order and respect. Folks, what that means is if the public doesn't support a police department doesn't survive. A police department doesn't exist. You know, there's a lot of times when we look at what the police officers do, and a lot of times we wish they would do more, but we also have to understand that we fall under the laws of the land. The Supreme Court makes many decisions that aren't favorable to law enforcement, but law enforcement has to live with those, and so does the public. Number three, the police must secure the willing cooperation of the public in voluntary observance of the law to be able to secure and maintain public respect. We have to depend upon the public to obey the law. We can't put a police officer on every corner, and even if we did, if we put a police officer on every single corner of every street in this United States of America, there would still be crime. But the majority of all people are good people. There's an old saying that 10% of the population does 90% of the crime, and that's basically the truth. And let's go to number four. The degree of cooperation of the public that can be secured diminishes proportionally to the necessity for the use of physical force and compulsion in achieving police objectives. That's important right now in our time of our history, folks. So many people think that police departments are heavy-handed and heavy-yielding. I truly believe, and I'll go to my grave believing, that police departments only do what is necessary to be done. I know that if somebody shoots at me, I'm going to shoot back. If somebody points a gun at me, I'm going to shoot. I have grandkids. I have kids I want to see tomorrow. And I think that is the bottom line. Number five, the police and seek and preserve public favor, not by catering to public opinion, but by constantly demonstrating absolutely impartial service to the law, in complete independence of policy, and without regard to the justice or injustice of the substance of individual laws, by ready offering of individual service and friendship to all members of society without regard to their race, or social standing, by ready exercise of courtesy and friendly good humor, and by ready offering of individual sacrifice in protecting and preserving life. Folks, I don't care if you're black, brown, purple, polka dot, whatever you are. 99% of every police officer in this country doesn't see color. They see a job to do, the way they're treated. If you treat me with disrespect, it's hard to respect you back, vice versa. And any police officer that doesn't respect the public, he needs to hang that badge up and find a new job doing something that's a lot less public-oriented. You know, and I know every single police officer I've ever met in my life would give their life to defend a person who is in harm. Number six, the police should use physical force only to the extent necessary to secure the service of the law or to restore order only when the exercise of persuasion, advice, and warning is found to be insufficient to achieve police objectives, and police should use only minimum degree of physical force which is necessary on any particular occasion for achieving a police objective. I think I just talked about that. You know, if force meets force, calm meets calm, and there is something called the continuum of force that every police officer has to learn. You start out by talking. And if you can't do talking, you go to another step. If that doesn't step, And then the ultimate, of course, is deadly force. Deadly force should only be used against deadly force. And that is one of the issues that a lot of people in this country have forgot, that police officers will give their life for someone, but they don't necessarily want to give their life to someone without protecting themselves, or at least taking a chance to protect themselves. Number seven, the police at all times, and this is important, the police at all times shall maintain a relationship with the public that gives reality to the historic tradition that the police are the public and the public are the police. The police are the only members of the public who are paid to give full-time attention to duties which are incumbent on every citizen in the intent of the community welfare. That means, folks, if we don't get along with the public doesn't get along with the police. And you see, that's really sad. That's why public relations, that's why community policing is so important. You show me a town that does not support community policing in this country today, I'll show you a town that is full of unrest. The idea of a police officer driving his police car, staying on his cell phone, and never looking at the public, never waking the public, that is an abomination if that happens in your community, wherever you are. You need to have the police officer who's intent on serving the public, and I mean serving the public in every respect. Number eight, the police should always direct their attention toward the functions and never appear to usurp the power of the judiciary by avenging individuals or the state or authority, judging guilt or punishment to guilt, or punishing the guilty. A police officer's job is not to hold court. It's not to say they're guilty. Every individual, whether they're a criminal or not, deserves to be treated with respect. The jury, the judge, he decides what happens to that individual on the side of the street that we have to deal with. I often told young police officers, never hold court on the side of the street. If somebody wants to argue with you, if they want to fuss about something, the thing your job to do is to do it professionally and with the utmost respect. You never talk down to a person unless you're helping them up. You know, there's a lot of things in this world we see as police officers. We see things that human beings should never see. We see death. We see children beat within an inch of their lives. You know, and there's a lot of things that really make a police officer angry, but you can't let that angry show. If you do let that angry show, you need to find another profession. Sure, we're human. Police officers are human. But a police officer has to be better. He has to keep his control. He has to keep his wits about him when everybody else is going crazy. And that's what's important. That's why Peel's principles are so important in today's world. Last but not least, the test of police efficiency is the absence of crime and disorder, not the visible evidence of police action in dealing with them. I always told my officers, if you're out and about on the streets and you're driving up and down the street and you're waving, you're being friendly, you're doing your job. If you have to be a type of officer who gets out and you have to let people know that, hey, this is a badge and I'm the big bad police officer, you're in the wrong profession, buddy. Police officers have to do a job. Their job is to be an arm and extension of the public, nothing more, nothing less. They need to treat people with respect, and that's what Peel teaches. The nine principles of Peelian theory, the ones I just read to you, are still taught in every single police academy today, every single police academy across this United States of America. And if everybody, citizens and police alike, obeyed and went by those principles, there'd be so much less tension between the public and the police. I truly believe every police officer out there, save just a couple, but every police officer out there is trying to do a job for the community because they don't get paid enough to do a job for this, that their life could be thrown away in a matter of heartbeats. You know, we need to look at that. We need to look at what police officers do. We need to look at how low paid they are. You look at a police officer in some of our local communities that puts a gun and a badge on and makes $10 an hour. He's putting his life on the line for $10 an hour. When he could go to some kind of fast food restaurant and make more money than that. It's a calling. It's a dedication. It's a belief that you're helping the public. If a police officer ever loses that fact, it is time for him to leave and to do some other profession. Until next week, everybody, I hope you had a great Easter. Have a great Easter tomorrow. stay out of trouble, drive safely, and remember, leave it to police officers. If they see you, they don't wave back, call their chief and ask them how come. Take care, everybody.
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here.
This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MISO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms,
24-17. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, it's March 31st, 2018, and we're in the Product Spotlight segment sponsored by ANC Firearms. Ladies and gentlemen, Arch Kuntz is a very good friend of mine. He's been in business for quite a while. He's been a friend of mine for quite a while. He's got an awesome location there in Heidenhammer. The number there is 254-983-4417, and we're going to do another Product Spotlight of some of the guns that he has there, and one of them is the North American Arms Mini Revolver. Ladies and gentlemen, I call this firearm the pocket knife of the gun world. And I'm probably going to make this a video, and here's one of them. This is the North American Arms Pug. It's a little bit different than probably the ones you've seen before. It's got a squared off barrel. It's got different sights, but I'm going to be talking about it a lot. It's a 22 Magnum that can also come in a conversion of 22 Magnum 22 long rifle. But it's a fantastic gun. Because it's so compact, I consider it not only like a pocket knife of the gun world, but I also consider it like Swiss timing. Swiss watches and clocks are so precise. This handgun made by North American Arms in Utah, I believe it is, they do such a fantastic job with it. I've got the catalog, and I just wanted to go over a few things. I'm going to be showing a couple of pages on the video, and I'll describe it the best I can verbally. But here we've got a whole bunch of different types of North American Arm revolvers, and they come from small, micro, to large. They've also got an automatic pistol. I believe it's in 32 caliber, but I'm not going to talk about that one. And they've got many accessories that go with it. And here's this page I'm going to show you with the accessories. There's so many things that you can get for this firearm to customize it for whatever your situation. I've sold many of these to attorneys, doctors, nurses, because they're so compact, you want to have something on you at all times. And sometimes a larger framed revolver or automatic pistol may not be convenient for how you're dressed. Let's say, for example, you're going out there, ladies in particular, let's say you're going out there in your exercise outfit. I see a lot of women wearing, the yoga pants. There's not much place you can hide a gun there, right? But a woman has features that a guy doesn't have up on top, and I'll tell you what, it's an excellent place to hide this little thing. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm totally serious. It's an excellent place. I make holsters for these particular types of revolvers that a woman can put on her brassiere, and it's hidden beautifully. You never know it's there. Guys, you can put it in your boot. You can put it in your inside your belt, in your pants waistline. You can put it in your pocket. It comes in 22 Magnum, 22 long rifle. It comes in conversions. It comes with swing gates open. This particular one, though, like I said, is the Pug. I liked it because it's squared off. So when I put it in a pocket or something, the barrel is in line with the takedown pin, as compared to some barrels that may extend a little bit longer. I've got an imbalance and it'll sit crooked. I like this one because it'll sit flat. And also because I have a large hand. Oh, here's a story. I remember one time ANC had one of these on there with the small grip that came on it from the factory. And I'm like, there's no way to shoot this thing. I can't shoot it. So I was really opposed to this type of gun. But then another time, ANC had another gun, but it had a boot grip. A boot grip in replacement of the original grip. And if you look in this video, you'll see the boot grip almost looks like a single action revolver cowboy gun grip. And what it does, that little corner at the base of the grip fit in the palm of my hand and it locked the gun in. So when I was able to, when I was shooting the revolver, it enabled it to lock it in and keep the weapon shooting straight, as compared to having the original grip on it, and it would float in my hand and I'd have shots all over the paper. I'm like, how can anybody shoot anything with this? With this firearm right here, at 25 yards, I can get them on an 8.5 by 11-inch piece of paper. At close range, I can get them in a 4-inch circle. This gun is meant for close proximity. You can put a couple snake shot rounds in it if you want. If you see a snake or something, you turn the cylinder around to the particular shot that you want, take care of a snake, or you can use it for self-defense. And if anybody says, oh, it's not going to do much, let me shoot you with a 22 Magnum, see if you like it. I've had people tell me they've been shot. They've been hunting with somebody who got shot by a friend. They were jumping off the back gate of a pickup truck, and the 22 Magnum went off, went into the side of the individual, blew out his intestines. The individual said it felt like a bowling ball hit me. I was on fire. It hurt like crazy. So don't tell me a 22 or a 22 Magnum can't get the job done. This is for close proximity. It's beautifully designed. They've got different configurations of this handgun, different types of sights, lots of different grips, holsters that you can wear. They've also got another one here that's pretty neat. A lot of people wear pocket knives in their pocket, and they got the clip showing. Well, I'm showing this on the video right now. This particular one, the handle folds up underneath the pistol, and when you put it in your pocket, it only looks like a pocket knife sticking out of your pocket. So you pull the gun out, whip open the handle, and there you've got a nice grip to hold on to and shoot the weapon if you have to. It's North American Arms. They also got the automatic pistol, but I'm not really getting into that. I just wanted to show it to you on the video. If you go to North American Arms website, you can check it all out. But ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer has got one on the shelf right now. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of it there on the box and what it comes with. And I've also got a picture of it in my hand to show you the size of it. They do make smaller ones than that. So if you look at it in my hand, they've got some that are even smaller than that. So you can hide them in a lot of different places. Nobody knows it's there. And it's just a nice, convenient tool to have. So give them a call at 254-983-4417, ANC Firearms. Remember, if you like the show and you want it on the air, I need sponsors. And ANC Firearms is a sponsor. Rick's a sponsor. Small Engine Repair is a sponsor. Twin Pistols, all, I got a bunch of great people supporting me, and you need to support them because they support me and it keeps the show on the air. If you don't like the show, sorry, I just changed the channel for a couple hours. But anyway, ANC Firearms in Hyde and Hammer, 254-983-4417. Let me tell you quickly what's coming up on the calendar here so that you can be prepared for it once I find my notes. I'm all out of whack here, but we've got a lot of things coming up, and one of them is, of course, Easter. That's April 1st, and that's not a joke. No April Fool's joke there. April 1st is Easter Sunday. April 6th will be the first Friday in April, and that's two for a night at Aaron's Gun Shop. So if you're going to the shop with two people, one shoots for free. Range time is free. It's a two-for deal. So it only costs you $10 per person. Two people come in, you're only going to pay $10 for range time. April 6th is our next round-robin competition. I'm sorry, April 13th. That's Friday the 13th. Second Friday of the month is the next round robin competition. That's a fantastic way to learn how to use your firearm better and to learn how to use different firearms under stress. And if you do well and you win, you might get a gun. That's the second Friday of the month. The third Friday is ladies' night. And like I always say, I don't care who you are. If the person you're with is a woman and declare themselves as a woman, they shoot for free. Their range time is free. Also, license to carry class. And here's a big one. I'm forming up a seminar to do a license to carry and advanced training all in the same class. We're going to get all the state law required things for the license to carry. And in addition to that, we're going to extend on class time and do all sorts of advanced training. So if you're looking to do that, give me a call. I'm combining the prices. Normally $160, the license to carry is $60, and the seminar is $165 by itself. But I'm combining the two together for a total of $165. It will include a lunch. If you are interested, I highly recommend you call me and contact me soon to lock yourself in, because I'm limited on the number of people I can do. You can contact me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, the website. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel. Like me on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram. And become part of the show. So, Joel, let's end it here. We'll take a break. And when we come back on the other side, I'm going to have special guest Bill Whitmire. We're going to be discussing in continuation the Second Amendment and any other kind of comments we want to go to. So remember, the number here is 254-697-6633. Get your questions or comments ready. And we'll get you on the air. Talk to you soon.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Hyde and Hammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Hyde and Hammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property, auto, and your family.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and zero-turn big dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's March 31st, 2018. We're finishing up the show, the last 37 minutes. And to my left, I have a special guest, Bill Whitmire. And Bill, I kind of yanked you from your morning show. How are you doing?
Pretty good. No, it's great.
I'm glad to have you here. I'll tell you what, why don't you tell everybody what you got going on in the mornings, because somebody may not be awake yet. We got to wake them up so they can listen to your show. What's going on?
Well, we do Bleacher Bum Radio, which is a sports talk show from 7 to 8:30, and then again from 9:20 to 9:50 leading into your show.
And I appreciate that little lead-in timer. Thanks.
No problem. It's just we just try to put a new spin on sports and try to keep people informed really mainly about what's going on here in Central Texas sports and, you know, Milam County in particular.
So pay attention to a show, listen to it in the mornings, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Now, Bill, I got you on here because you were in here, and I didn't have a guest, and we were getting in a nice conversation, Ross and everybody, about the Second Amendment and guns and all that kind of stuff, and I wanted to continue on. I asked if you wanted to come on and join it, and you felt like you wanted to. You got any thoughts, comments about this whole thing? Second Amendment, guns, AR-15s, and AK-15s, like some have been quoting.
Well, you know, we talked about it a little bit, and I just don't remember ever having a time in my life where there weren't guns in the house and there wasn't proper respect for guns. We talk, and you hear heard a lot about it this week, and people say we need more weapons laws, we need more gun control laws, this, that. And Matt, I told you, we don't fully enforce the laws we have on the books. We don't even know how the laws in the books actually are supposed to work. We've had shootings this year twice now by individuals that, according to the law, should not have had a gun. If we just would have enforced the laws that are on the book, those people shouldn't have had guns to begin with.
Let's make an example of one clearly. I'm getting my accidents mixed up, but there was one with the Air Force individual.
Right.
The military fell down on that one and did not give the government the proper information of people of that particular question so that they could get the proper NICS check done. And then I think there was some heat coming down from the White House about getting or expediting all the information from armed forces to give that information. So there's one aspect of what a problem is. You may have the gun laws in place, but then certain entities are failing to provide information. So the law may have worked of a NICS check, but the entity responsible for bringing the information may have failed.
Right. And so, as a result, the law failed because it wasn't enforced the way it was supposed to be. And that's where we get in trouble. There are mental health issues, but that's a health care issue that is not being addressed, that needs to be addressed, because there are individuals that aren't receiving a diagnosis. And sometimes, you know, I have a lot of family that's in the medical field, and sometimes people aren't always diagnosed because they don't want to put that stigmatism on somebody. Mm-hmm. And that allows them to have those doors open to them where they can obtain a weapon or something.
Well, let's break this down. Tell me if I'm wrong, or tell me if you got some more add-on to this. You got people who do illegal drugs,
right,
and that can get you messed up. Then you got people who get prescription drugs, and multiple prescription drugs, and that seems to be messing up lots of people. And then I guess you can get the people who aren't given those prescription drugs, who are stealing the prescription drugs and taking them just for a quick high. And then you got people, like you just said, who may have a problem but don't want to go in and get the stigma of, hey, I got a problem, I've seen a psychiatrist, I got post-traumatic stress disorder and all this. So they're floating out there and not on the records. So you got all these different aspects. So in reality, I think, in my humble opinion, one of our major problems here is a medical problem.
Yeah, it's you know, we say drug abuse. And in realistic terms, the illegal drugs, that's illegal use. Abuse is when you have those narcotics that you receive or someone receives for a prescription or a doctor prescribes that shouldn't be prescribed. There's your abuse. Mm-hmm. And that is where the illegal drugs, you're going to be fighting that forever. And when they say, you know, you hear these people and they'll say, you know, drugs have been illegal forever. And people are still doing it.
I say this to all the drug cartels out there. Do us a favor. Get rid of the bad stuff and just sell weed. How many people that you've seen smoking weed really want to do anything but eat?
Eat, lay around and eat. Yeah, look at the sky, lay around and
eat. That's it, but you get these special chemicals and people start going nuts. They start getting out of their normal mental processes, and they start doing some crazy things. They start hallucinating and coming up with some weird things in their brain. There was an article here. I read this a few days ago, and it says, retired justice urges repeal of the Second Amendment. And they're pulling this guy out because he had prominence of being a Supreme Court justice for such a long time, and now he's saying, well, we should do something to repeal it from the Second Amendment. And you'll just heard in the news recently how Trump said, no way. He tweeted, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely no way. The Second Amendment will always be around. No, it won't be if we're not vigilant in trying to protect it. So what do you think of that one?
Yeah, I saw that. I don't see how it could ever happen because you'd have to have two-thirds of the legislature, and then it would have to go to the states. But I can't see it happening. But to see that it's even out there and somebody's talking about it publicly and as high profile an individual talking about it.
That's my problem with it.
It puts it on a scary ground or for lack of, you know, the cliche of the day, a slippery slope from
here,
there.
Here you have a Supreme Court judge sitting there for how long with that mental thought process in the back of his head that he keeps hidden underneath his black robe. So when he makes decisions on certain things, now we know, hey, if we were to go back and look at some of the things he decided upon, he's got this personal prejudice against the guns instead of saying, hey, the law says this and the law says that. And because of my experience, I think this is what it means from historical background. No, he's making a personal opinion.
Yeah, he's a very left-leaning. He was very left-leaning justice when he was on the court. You know, it's a breakdown. It's a societal breakdown to me. It's a lack of enforcement of the current laws. We can't even tell if the current laws are even effective because they have not been enforced the way they should be. But it goes back to, there's things that go through Congress all the time, and from a young age, you know, my family's been in the law, they've been in elected office, and I've always been told, you cannot legislate morality. You just cannot do it. And when I look at gun control laws and people that want to pass it, that's where that breakdown in the family unit starts to come into effect, and the breakdown of societal norms that used to be in effect. And we've lost track of that. You know, one of my favorite ads is from an old Sears and Roebuck catalog. You see the whole family sitting there holding 22s and rifles, and that was in the, you could order that via mail. But that's where we were back then, where people, you know, I was raised with guns around all the time, and we were all the time. I mean, my dad was so honest about gun safety, and we had to take it, we took it in school. I took a 22 to school for gun safety class.
Yeah, and that's not too far ago or not too long ago.
No, that was 83, you know, 1983 or so is when that was. And we took guns to school. And now, granted, we could, you know, obviously we didn't take any ammunition with us to the regular school day, but we took our guns to school. And now, if you take a water gun to school, you're liable to be thrown down on by, you know, some school official or something. And I'm not knocking on school officials because they've got a tough job to do in today's environment. But that's just where our mindset has gone. And it's not so much because somebody brought a gun to school. It's because a gun is at school and you don't know what these kids are doing because the teachers, the administrators, don't have the ability to be in charge of the students like they did even 20 years ago.
Where did this fear of the firearm come from?
I think it's an overall, to me, it feels like it's an overall PC, part of the PC mentality that we have nowadays. You can't, you know, earlier today we had a phone call, you had a phone call, and you know, you said, I can't remember what word it was. Was it, that's a stupid, oh, idiot. Yeah. And somebody was offended by that. And I get it, but, you know, they should have come to football practice with me when I was growing up, because I got called a whole lot worse than you've been in the military. You know, you get called a whole lot worse than idiot.
Let me clarify that, though, since you brought it up and since the young lady brought it up. The reason I said idiot, and I don't claim her as an idiot, mm-hmm. and she misunderstands, because I'm a little bit clearer on what's going on here, and that is, the person who wants to ban guns because they think it's going to solve the problem, it has nothing to do with that. It's this conversation we're talking about. If you have to understand it, it's not the freaking gun. It's the individual who uses the gun. So, and we just discussed about how people are mind altered by drugs, poor family upbringing. And I was talking about this in the hallway with you. I'm 55, and you are younger. Okay, you can say
I'm 48.
Okay, 48. Yeah. And if we go back in our histories and we look at what you did, and you explain some how you'd have a gun with you, you know, in the back of the truck and all this kind of stuff. At what point in time did this thing start happening? It had to be less than 20 years that this mindset and alteration of how they perceive guns, and a lot of it has to do with the media representation of how it's presented. They'll take a story, magnify it, and all of a sudden it starts to snowball, and people get this misconception of what the reality of your Second Amendment is, how firearms work, personal responsibility, because they're so droned into what the media is telling them with bullet points. You got to have a history, an understanding, a full circle of knowledge. And so when I say you're an idiot, it's the person who gives me this stupid, dumb response due to a lack of research and knowledge. You're getting off your emotions. Study it, understand it, and give me a better answer, not just an emotional answer. I was just on a rage there. Go ahead.
Well, you go back to that, and it's the difference in the times. You know, I remember I was stationed in California at the time when everything happened with the Branch Davidians in Waco. Mm-hmm. And you had ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN. And they had cable in the hangar there, and people were watching it in the duty office. Then when the Oklahoma City bombing happened, you had coverage on CNN, but you didn't have a lot of other options. And it wasn't until an incident like Columbine, and I think Columbine was the first one that was really hit on. And, you know, and then as we've progressed, because then you had Fox, you had CNN, you had MSNBC, CNBC, you know, along with your regular networks, and then Bloomberg. And now you have social media to where, you know, we've sat in here before and we have found out about ugly, ugly, ugly car wrecks on Facebook or on Instagram before we hear it on the police scanner.
Yeah.
You know,
instead of calling 911, they're filming it.
And that's how everybody now has an opinion. Everybody expresses it. No one talks. So when you say somebody, I said this a few months ago. I said, you know, I'm sorry, but you're just ignorant of that. And the gentleman got furious with me for calling him ignorant.
And they don't understand the word ignorant.
And he didn't understand it. And I said, you're just ignorant about it. It's just an ignorance of this subject. And he said, I am not ignorant. And I said, well, no, not overall, but on this subject you are. And he was furious with me, walked out of our meeting, mm-hmm. and has not talked to me in 2 months because I called him ignorant.
Ignorant is just a lack of knowledge on a particular subject.
But it's divisiveness in people that has created this situation. Now, we can't even sit down and have a real debate about the issues that face us as a country over anything, much less guns, because the divisiveness of the country, you know, you can't say this or you're ignorant. You can't say this or you're racist. You can't say this or you're a bigot. You can't say this or you're a Nazi. It's back and forth and back and forth, and we can't have a dialogue. We talked about Reagan, we talked about Kennedy, but even in those times, you know, Reagan had a Democrat House, a Democrat Senate, but they work together mm-hmm. to get legislation passed. We can't do that anymore in this country. If you don't have all three, the House, the Senate, and the presidency,
you're not going to get much done at all.
You're not going to get much done at all.
That's it. That's why, for you listeners who heard me calling my opinion piece idiots, I had other words to pick from: naive, ignorant, idiot's the one that fit by definition. So it's not like I'm just choosing words. Idiot fit the definition of what I was trying to get across. It gets heated, Bill.
Yeah.
It gets really heated.
It can.
I was going to make a point, though, and it was like, when you mentioned Columbine, the mental issue has been there. It just is now in your face. Mm-hmm. And we're now recognizing that's an issue. But back in those days, I could see it as a traumatizing event, Columbine, because like, where did this come from? Now we know it's the people are whacked out and they're saying, hey, you know, I'm a loser, but if I do this, I'll be famous. It's like, what is it? Dictators and mass murderers are the ones who get remembered for forever. It's the person like you and I who are trying to do a good thing. Once we croak, in about 10 years, the family's going to forget you too.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're not a criminal, if you're not a mass murderer or a dictator, forget it. Your life here on this planet will be forgotten in less than a generation.
Well, so, I did a thing on Facebook several years ago, and I created an album in it called No Caption Required. And it was pictures from history where you didn't need a caption to know what the picture was. And one of them that I did was the shooting at Kent State, mm-hmm. back in the 60s. And after I put that out, I was talking to one of my brothers, and I said, you know, if that happened today, this picture is not iconic. And when we went back and we looked at those pictures, there's nothing that's iconic that's happened in the last 15 years as far as pictures go, really, because everybody has a cell phone, everybody has a camera, mm-hmm. everybody has video. And back, even when you think about Columbine, there are specific images from Columbine. But when you talk about what happened in Parkland or some of these other places, there are so many pictures, so many. You know a name, but the name starts to, they all start to run together because it's so much information.
And we're getting desensitized too.
Yeah, and it becomes about a movement and ceases to be about what the real issue is. Right now, take for instance, Black Lives Matter. There is an issue that needs to be discussed. There is an issue that needs to be addressed, and there's things that need to be resolved. But it won't happen because the issue has ceased to be about what the problems are, and it's become about the group Black Lives Matter. And in this case, I'm afraid that the issue of how to enforce these laws and how to make things happen are going to get passed because of the movement that's involved.
Are
now
you familiar
with what happened?
Who formed Black Lives Matter? If you're not familiar with who did it, look it up. You'll be surprised at who it is. I'm not going to say it here on the air, but you'll be surprised who it is.
But it goes back to, you know, that goes back to that point. You know, the guys that when they kneeled during the national anthem at the football games this year.
Don't get me started on that one, man.
But they lost. Some of them had a good point to make, but their point was lost because of the way they decided to demonstrate. Once they decided to demonstrate by taking a knee, they lost focus of what their issue was, and the issue became them disrespecting the flag.
I concur.
And so you have the right to demonstrate any way you want to that's inside the law. But once you do, and you make a demonstration like that, you go and you burn a flag, you lost the issue. It becomes about you burning a flag now.
That's right.
There are ways to demonstrate and
make
your
point. Would you agree? Let's say you got this pro football player, a lot of prominence and recognition, and once he's done playing the game and he wins the game for the team and he gets off air or off the field and he makes his discussion then, aren't you going to listen to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You may not agree, but you're
halfway through the season, I said the best thing they could do as a group is to come out and say, you know what? We're going to stand for the flag and we're going to carry on this discussion, but we're going to do it in a respectful way to the country and the flag and stand up. And if they would have done that, they would have all the momentum right now. But as it is right now, you've got players that took a knee last year that can't get a team, and they've already said, they've come out and said, I'm never going to do that again. And it's not because they're trying to change the direction of their movement, it's because they're unemployed.
How could you apply that same thought process to what we're talking about now on the guns?
It is to actually enforce the laws by the letter of the law. One problem I have is that if you look at the population, you look at the number of guns, you look at the number of people trying to buy guns in America now, and then you look at the number of people that are responsible for the enforcement, the number of guns, the number of people, the number of opportunities to buy has increased. I don't even know how much logarithmically. It's huge. But the number of people that are in charge of enforcement has hardly moved, has hardly gone up. It's remained close to the same.
The problem is, there was on that clip I played before Ross came on, the inmates said, I don't care if there's a law or not, I'm going to commit the crime.
Yeah.
So it's you and I, the law-abiding citizen, and the law is not for us. You're going to have the rogue out there. You're going to always, always, no matter what kind of society you have a criminal element. It just so happens that it's getting crazy because people are mentally deficient, okay? But the laws on the books are almost, like, ridiculous because the person who's legal isn't going to probably break that law, and if they do, it's because it was just under a circumstance that tripped them up. Their intention was not to do it. You got the criminal element who doesn't care, could care less.
Yeah, you know, in my normal, my real job, not my radio job here, but in, where I really go to work, we lock gates all the time out in the oil field. But a lock only keeps honest people honest.
That's right.
It's the enforcement that comes after somebody breaks it that helps to curb a criminal's mindset.
I don't know anymore because you got death penalties. Texas is the largest, the leading people on the execution.
The death penalty is the most underused, ineffective. It's not a deterrent. The death penalty was brought about to be a deterrent to crime.
A quick
and it's
response.
Not because of all the capital, all the crimes that could be covered under capital punishment, only a small percentage actually are. And then of those people that are put on death row, it takes 10 to 15 years.
The only thing that scares me about it, Bill, the only thing that scares me about that is there's been how many people now who've been gotten off because of DNA?
Yeah.
And so that makes me wonder, okay, what happened in the courtroom? So I don't know anymore. And that's why I'm thinking if we got to get somehow back to basics and get the family unit together, have respect for one another and love for one another.
Yes.
And I don't mean, and that's not a gay thing either. I'm saying love meaning just truly love your neighbor. Protect your neighbor. Watch out for your neighbor.
The old thing that, you know, my grandfather used to always tell me, take care of your backyard. If everybody takes care of their backyard and helps one person in life, this world would be an amazingly better place. But unfortunately, instead of people taking care of their backyard, a lot of people will sit there and point blame at somebody else for their backyard being a mess and never take the time to help somebody else. So if I could tell people stuff, take care of your own backyard and help one person in life to have a better life. And we'll have a much better planet.
I'll tell you what, we'll end it there. Bill, why don't you tell everybody once again about your show?
That's
not happening.
Tell them what it's about.
That's an experiment.
I was just going to jerk you off.
Master Cindy Key, due to the fact she fell ill today with a sore throat, and we'll just play a replay.
Yeah, we got Bleacher Bum Radio. We'll be on every Saturday before Aaron's High Cap Adventure here. We'll be on from 7 to 8:30, and then again from 9:20 to 9:50. It'll be me and the Bleacher Bums.
And who are they?
Nate Maris, Tommy Harris, Kyle Cruz, Kyle Deal, and sometimes whoever else.
Hey, Garrett, my son was with Kyle on that.
On that Spartan run.
Now, Garrett didn't tell me anything, but maybe you know Kyle.
Kyle, how's he doing? On the way back, on the way.